Welcome to the Ecclesia Hollywood podcast and the teaching series, Big God, discovering the attributes of God and who He is to us.
Morning. How's everyone doing? Good. Happy beginning of summer. Happy graduation for those that are graduating high school. And the truth is, summer will never look the same ever again, so enjoy it. I didn't even realize it was going to be summer until someone said something. Lost all track of day and time, and so that's exciting. Well, welcome. We've been here a couple of weeks. We've been doing a series called Big God, and this is talking about the attributes of God, who God is to us and who He is in Himself, and what that means to us. And so if you've been with us, welcome. If you haven't and you want to go back to the podcast and figure out what those attributes of God we talked about, feel free to do that. And today, we get to talk about the truth of God, that God is truth. And that is a little bit of a difficult topic. Every time someone talks about truth, what truth is, say, I'm going to tell you some truth, our response normally is very defensive, right? I grew up, and it was always, talk to the hand. Do people do that anymore? No? Did I just date myself? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, moving on. And so that was the response. We respond very defensively, and we're like, who are you to tell me truth? And so I realized the difficulty as I stand here and talk about truth and talk about that God is truth. And so bear with me. And I'm in your boat. I'm learning what this means. And there are certain things we can say that are true. It is truth that we are in this building, sitting here, that's a building located on Hollywood Boulevard. Truth is that we, again, as a church community, are in a season of transition. Truth is, for some people, this is a season of hurt or of confusion or of anger or possibly just waiting. Truth is, as much as I want, there is no complete blueprint to life. Truth is that there are things that happen in life that are simply unfair and utterly confusing. And yet the truth is that God is fully and completely just. Truth is that we all have our own journeys, and the person sitting next to you, there's more to them than meets the eye. Truth is, as my friend likes to say, jazz hands makes anything better. No? Didn't help. Okay. I'll tell her that. Truth is that some of you are afraid of what the future holds. And truth is, some of us, no matter how hard we try, cannot escape our past. Truth is, as much as I believe most of these things, if not all of these things, are true, that there's some of you sitting out there that would disagree with me. You would say those things aren't true. And so this is the difficulty when we talk about truth, is that it's even difficult for us to agree on what is truth. We live in a culture that we're very skeptical towards anything objectively true. Part of this, I think, is that we live in a culture of a lot of untruths or partial truths. And so anybody saying this is absolutely true, we are very hesitant to agree to that. Some of you work in this city to convince people of truths. You work in advertising, you work in editing, and your goal is to get someone else to believe or feel what you want them to believe or feel. So this is very difficult in this environment to agree to an objective truth. And yet we are going to talk about truth today, and part of that is, what does it mean that God is truth? What do I mean by that? Do I mean that God Himself is just the collection of all things we can say are true? Like, if it's a statement I can say is true, I throw it in a bucket, and that bucket is God. Or do I mean that God's truth supersedes all other truth? That in order to be true, it must come in alignment with God being true in Himself. It is difficult for us to even define that. That God is truth. And as much as I wrestled with that in the last couple weeks, I landed on this. What God's truth means is that if nothing else is true, nothing else is, God's truth still remains. So if nothing else is true, God's truth still is true. And the reason I could land on that is because who am I to tell or to categorize what is truth for God? I am in no position to go, God, that's true, that's not true. God, you got that one wrong. That's not true. I don't know what you're saying, but I don't agree with that. I am in no position to do that. I can't. And so I have to assume that God in himself is truth. That if nothing else was, God still is, and what he says is true is true. And this leads us to questions, right? Then if that is the case, how do I engage with truth in my own life? How do I engage or agree with God's truth? What if I don't agree with it? What if I disagree with what God says is true about himself or of life? How do I align myself to that? How do I engage with it? And these are difficult questions. And so my task today is to talk about truth, talk about what it means that God is truth. And to do that, I went into Scripture to figure out what it says about God being truth. And one of the best places to do that was John, the Gospel of John. And so you can turn there. We'll eventually end up in chapter 8. But even in the beginning, chapter 1, John 1:1 expresses that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on in 1:14-17 and connects this word, this truth, with Jesus. And the word he's using for word is the word logos, which is a word that John adopted from the culture at the time. And the concept of the logos was that there's this wisdom. There's this overarching organization of creation. There's a truth behind creation. And this truth, this word, this wisdom became flesh. And this word, wisdom, becoming flesh, is Jesus. So he connects Jesus to this truth, this word that spoke everything into creation that we saw in Genesis, where it says, before all things, God spoke, and creation came into existence. And that spoken word, that truth, that overarching wisdom of all creation, he connects with Jesus. John goes on in 4:23 to connect us relating with God. Our relationship with God is through truth, through the Spirit and truth. And so as we engage with God, even in prayer, we engage on a level of truth. We don't engage with God in falsehood, right? We engage with God with truth. If I say, God, I think this is true, usually his response is either, no, you have it wrong, I'm going to correct you, but usually God's not going to affirm my falsehood. God doesn't deal relationally with falsehood. That wouldn't make sense. God deals with us in truth. That's who he is. And so that's my relationship to God, that I even relate with him, the truth of who he is, the truth of who I am, and what's true about my current state. And this gets us and brings us to the passage I want to see this morning, which is in chapter 8. So if you want to turn there with me to chapter 8, this is verses 31-47. And for a lot of us, this will be a very common passage, and you'll see this. And there's also some very surprising things about this passage I want us to see. So if you want to turn there are Bibles in front of you, look like this, or the words will come up on the screen. So this is John 8, 31-47, and it says this. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have been slaves. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen from the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus said, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God, Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. You are illegitimate children, or we are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God, and have not come on my own, but God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He is a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth, and there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Let me pray. Father, these are difficult words. So Lord, we need you to speak to us. We need to show us, Lord, what you mean by these. God, would you lead me as I try to understand what it is that you're saying and you're saying to us. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts? Would you show us where you are? Would you help us to see you, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. Many of us are familiar with this passage, right? We quote it, we know it, right? The truth will set you free, right? If you know the truth will set you free. How many people know that? Yeah, it's pretty common. Okay, how many people were surprised by the context, as I was, in this passage? Anybody? So, yes. So we know this passage, and yet Jesus, after telling these Jews who are believing in Jesus, meaning they're following Jesus, they believe who he is, he tells them this truth, and moments later he goes, your father's the devil, the father of lies. It's like, come again, Jesus? I think I missed that, right? I was following you. Yeah, this is going pretty well. All right. And then it's like, oh, your father's the devil. What? Wait, what? I think I missed something here. There was something that went awry here, and I'm not sure I understand what it is. I mean, what is really going on in this passage? This is very surprising to me as I looked at this. And I think there's two things that are going on that I want us to see. One is that Jesus is confronting their core beliefs. But when he confronts their core beliefs, they respond in a certain way. The second thing I want us to see is that what is evident is what they hold as true is evidence in their lives. Like, what they hold true can be seen and displayed in their lives. So those are the two things I think Jesus points out in this passage. So let's go to the first one. The first one is that the truth confronts their and our core beliefs. So Jesus says this statement, and then moments later, they say, how can you set me free if I'm already free? I'm not enslaved. This doesn't make sense. And so their response only points us to one thing, that their core belief was that I'm not a slave. There's no way you can set me free, Jesus, because I'm already free. And so as his truth confronts their core belief, they respond by wanting to kill him, right? They respond in that defensive way. It's like, nope, I don't think so, Jesus. So much so, they want to hurt him. And it's very interesting that this is not displayed, right? There is no part where they took out knives and they're chasing Jesus. He calls out what's in their hearts. He goes, in your heart, you want to kill me. And so their response to this core belief is probably much more drastic than they were even expecting. Truth, for many times, is difficult for us to believe. It's difficult for us to receive. We respond many times like they respond. And this week, in the last couple of weeks, God has been showing me this pretty drastically. If you know anything about preaching, What happens is that God teaches you what you're going to teach on. And so the last couple of weeks, God has been even confronting me on my core beliefs. As I've been wrestling with God, it's been hard for me to receive, one, what it is that I truly believe. To be honest with myself. Oh yeah, that is what I believe. And two, to receive his truth about who I am and what's going on. And so for me in this season, the thing that's been coming up is I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I can't make things happen. Like, I'm broken in some kind of way. And as much as other people say, oh, no, that's not true, it's hard for me not to believe that. It's so core to who I am, it's very, very hard for me to believe something different. I would love to believe, and part of this is that even in this season as a church, I could just flip a switch and make this all better. That I could flip a switch and help every person in this room know the love of Jesus and the fullness of Jesus. That I could help you feel and experience freedom and healing. I wish I could do that, but I can't. And so the truth that I had to receive, which is still hard for me to receive, is that I can't do it. I have to lay it all down. I have to let it go. And I have to trust that God knows what he's doing and he is able. And that he's good. That he's going to meet me in that. And that's really hard for me. Because I want to believe that I can make things change. I want to believe that I can do things more than my ability to do things. And so it's been a long couple of weeks of me wrestling through this core belief and people saying, oh, no, this is true. I'm like, no, this is really true. And I can't hide that. And it's been a wrestling with God. God, show me your truth. And at times I act defensively. I'm like, quit telling me that. That's not true. Like, I can't receive that. Or I'll be like, oh, that's nice. Oh, yeah. And then internally I'm going, that's not true. I'm having the hardest time. So this has been a challenge for me this week, in the last couple of weeks. And one of the things I have to acknowledge in my core beliefs and my belief system is that my knowledge is limited. I want to be a little bit more vulnerable than what I just was in the sense of telling you my experience. In the last couple of years, I am convinced. Every time I do laundry, I don't know if it's the dryer I use at the laundromat. I don't know, but my clothes shrink. Anybody else having this experience? So I don't know if it's a physics, like the more I wash my clothes, the tighter the fabric gets, you know. But every time I put on like that favorite shirt or those clothes, I'm like, oh man, they shrunk again. I'm not going to use that dryer anymore. Man, like, I don't know what's going on. I need to stop washing my clothes at that place. Literally, that's my perception. That's my truth, that my clothes are shrinking. Nowhere in my mind am I thinking, maybe I gained a little weight over the last 2 years. Maybe. And as much as I remember that every time I put on that shirt, I don't. I go, oh, there's that dryer again. Man, I need to stop drying my clothes. So it's so hard for me to break out of that, what I understand is true. Because I don't see myself gaining weight the last 2 years, although it's probably true. Anybody else have this experience close? Just me. I'm a little odd. Okay. And so a lot of times we're stuck in our perceptions and our understandings, our what we believe is true of life and of ourselves. And we see that this is what happened when the Jews who were following Jesus get confronted. Jesus says, my truth will set you free. And they're saying, whoa. I have no space for that. That doesn't even make sense. You're wrong. It has to be wrong. There's no way I'm gaining weight. My clothes have to be shrinking. There's no other option. And so they respond as we all respond to truth, which is a little defensively. And then we see the other thing that Jesus shows them in this passage. So one, that truth confronts our core beliefs. Two, that what we hold true is evident in our lives. So if you want to know what your core beliefs are, you want to know what you really believe deep down inside, ask the person next to you. They'll tell you. Ask your spouse. You go, what do I really believe? They can tell you. Oh, you really believe this. Because if you didn't really believe that, you would actually respond to me differently. Or you would do this. Or whatever that list is. That your life, what you do, your actions are evidence of what you truly believe. We can't escape that, right? And that's difficult for us because we readjust our lives around what we believe is true. We prioritize our lives around what we believe is true. I spend most of my time doing things I believe are worth doing or that I think are valuable for wherever I'm going or the person I want to be. I think those are true, and so those are where I spend my time. I prioritize my life around those things. And Jesus calls this out in the disciples, the Jews who are believing in him and following him. And he says, wait a minute, if you really were children of God, you wouldn't try to kill me. You would love me. So I don't care what you're saying. I don't care what you assent to in your head. It's obviously not true because you're trying to kill me, right? So we can't escape that reality. And we live in a celebrity culture. And what I mean by this is this, is that I think and try pretty hard to control what you feel and believe about me. So I create this reality where you think and feel what I want you to think and feel about me. And I do this because I don't want you to know that I don't know. I don't want you to know that I lack knowledge, that inside I have all these doubts and fears and anxieties and concerns. I don't want you to see that. I want you to see that I'm put together and I have things figured out. That's my goal. It works sometimes. The difficulty in that is as much as I try to create that, as much as I assent to certain beliefs in my mind, you can still call me out on what you see and what is evidence in my life. I can't hide that. And this is the other difficulty, is that somewhere I believe that if I just think better thoughts, if I just think the right thoughts, then my life will look different, right? If I think A, B, and C, then my life will look like A, B, and C. And here's the difficulty. If I assent to better thinking, if I just think better, if I think more positively about myself, guess what? My life doesn't always reflect that. Sometimes I'm still a jerk. And you can still call me out on it. And the reason is because sometimes there's core beliefs in me that are deeper than me coming up with better thoughts is not going to fix. Those core beliefs I can't hide. I can't hide that. As much as I walk through and I feel, man, I have things put together, there's some of you that can call me out on my doubts and my fears. And that aspect that I really don't feel like I have what it takes, that I don't feel like I'm enough. I can't hide that. Even if I think during my day, oh, I have, you know, it's good. God has a plan. This is good. This is good. This is good. At the end of the day, I'm still fighting the doubt, man. Who am I? I can't escape that as much as I try. So this is the challenge in our culture because we think we actually can do that. We think we can hide from other people, right? We don't know what we don't know until we know that we don't know it. We don't know what we don't know until we know that we don't know it. And then I realize I don't know it. But until then, I'm in this bubble of reality that I think I know it. Until someone says, no, you don't know it. Oh, you're right. I was just talking to John Hans. He calls these bad breath sins. Everyone else, oh man, evident to everyone else except you. Right? And it's hard for us. We're like, no, not me. Like, that's everyone else. I'll call them out on their bad breath. But I don't want anybody else to call me out, because that's not me. I've got it pretty under control. Well, welcome. We all have it. And so our difficulty in this is now what do we do? If truth confronts my core beliefs, and usually I respond defensively or, you know, I want to attack someone, or my life is evidence of what I truly believe, whether I assent to a different thought or not, well, then what do? And this is where we go back to the original point that Jesus had in 8:31 and 32. So let's go back here and see exactly what it is that these Jews were responding to, this truth that Jews were responding to. And it says this, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The word "hold" here is the word "abide," which happens in multiple other places in Scripture, the word that means remain. And this word in this context is really saying this: if my word, if my truth has a home in you, that it has a permanent place in you, that it sticks, you will experience freedom. That my truth has the ability to free you. That God's truth has the ability to give you freedom. And this is where it sticks. So it's not like one day I receive it and I say, yeah, that's true. And then the next day I just kind of throw it out because I think a better thought or a better truth comes along. No, it's the fact that God's truth has a permanent home and permanent place in me. And I don't easily forget it. And freedom comes when we make that space internally in ourselves for his truth. When we say yes to God. Instead of reacting defensively, instead of pushing it away, I go, I'm not sure I totally agree. I'm not sure I totally understand that, but I'm going to say yes to God anyways. And allow God to show me the truth of that, and it'll free me. Falsehood itself cannot free us. It can't do it. Only God's truth, only real truth has the ability to set us free. When I was 18, high school, senior in high school, really trying to seek purpose in life. What was my purpose? What's the point of life? What's the point of any of this? Really smart kid. And I didn't have an answer. I couldn't find an answer. Actually, I searched multiple religions looking for answers. And I said, well, that's a nice idea. That's interesting. But nothing really set me free from the thoughts that I had, the inadequacy, the doubts, the confusion. And in that time, I was doing drugs. And I was doing drugs to help me feel like I had belonging with other people. I didn't have friends. My family took me to a therapist. The therapist was basically saying, I think you're a little depressed. I was like, me? No. No, that's not me. And so I couldn't see what was really going on. And so I was hiding from all those doubts and all those fears and all those things. I was doing drugs and I was searching for a purpose and for an answer. And I searched and I searched and I couldn't find anything. One day, and it was the day after Easter, I think I was high. The end of the day, I thought, man, this is like, I don't know what it was, but it was like, this is the perfect day. I don't know, there was something different about it. And there was a thought that happened in my mind, what happened in history on this day? Because there's something different. And when I researched that, I realized, oh, the day after Easter, the day after Jesus resurrected. The truth is that God sent his son to give me freedom. That he himself is truth. And when I receive that, I have freedom. And his resurrection was proof that what he said was true. And when I researched that and looked over that, and I didn't grow up going to church. I mean, I went once in a while, but it wasn't very common for me. But when I received that truth, oh wait, Jesus, this life, this truth can be for me, it set me free. I gave away all my drugs. I changed. I remember going to the initiation in college, and they said, these college years are going to change your life. That you're going to learn who you are, and you're going to find purpose. And I remember sitting there going, no, I'm not. Maybe everyone else is. I know my purpose. I know my identity. I don't need to find it. I have Jesus. He'll lead me. I knew it. If my life ended at that point, I had purpose. I didn't need to find it. I wasn't going to discover anything new in college. It's like, I've thought through those issues of greater purpose in life. I was a high schooler doing drugs. I went down that road. I researched other religions. That didn't work for me. Jesus gave me freedom. He gave me release. And the freedom that Jesus offers is not a future day. It's today. And I know some of you are in this room thinking, it's not possible. Like, maybe I know Jesus, maybe I follow Jesus. I don't think true freedom is possible, because otherwise, why am I so hounded with these thoughts and these doubts and this confusion and this self-criticism? I can't escape it. But I'm here to say the truth is possible and it is real. That Jesus and his truth will give freedom. If we allow God to redefine and clarify who we are, if we really give space for that truth in us, we will realize and experience the freedom that it offers. That I no longer have to carry the burden to know everything, or to figure out my future, or to figure out who I am. I no longer have to figure out what real truth is. In that place of receiving and giving a place for God's truth, all I have to do is say yes. Yes to God's truth. Yes to Jesus. Jesus, in that situation, gets the final say. Just before the section that we read in 31 through 47, the beginning of chapter 8 is the story of the adulterous woman. And in that story, we see an adulterous woman coming to Jesus. The Pharisees are following her. They want to stone her to death. Jesus says, the one that has no sin casts a stone. If you have no sin, be the first one to throw it. And one by one, every Pharisee drops the rock and walks away. Now, the important part of the story is what comes next. Jesus says, if they didn't condemn you, neither do I. And I feel like this is what he was saying. He goes, remember the truth of what just happened here and make it have the weighty effect that it should in your life from this moment forward. That's really what Jesus was saying to the adulterous woman. Don't forget this. Give this a place and a home in you, and don't forget it. Don't question it, because you are now free. You are not condemned. You are not attacked. No one's going to stone you. You are now free. And the freedom that God offers us is not just sin management. It's about freeing us from our own prisons. That those thoughts we can't escape, those questions, those doubts, it's freeing us from our own prison. It's like when someone tells you that there's something true, right? They tell the truth and you're like, oh, finally! Finally told the truth. It's so freeing. Now what if God himself told you the truth of who he is and who you are? And how freeing that is. That's the freedom that he offers. And it's not something in the future. It's here. It's today. It's every day. I'm reminded by a preacher. He would say every morning he woke up, he would become a Christian all over again. That he would give that space internally for the truth of God. That he would be reminded of that every day. It's a challenge. And he'd have to say yes to Jesus every day. And that'll give us freedom. God is the only one that knows you fully, right? Other people can speak truth to your life. It can be helpful. But God's the one that knows you in and out. And when he speaks truth, he knows what he's saying about who you are and what you're called to. He knows why you're sitting in the seat you're sitting in right now. He knows what you're supposed to do in this city. He knows where you came from. All that past stuff, he knows. None of this is hidden from him. None of it. Except when he brings truth, he doesn't bring truth to condemn. He knows all that stuff. He is bringing truth and saying, here I am, because he wants freedom for you. He wants freedom, and it's offered. All we have to do is say yes to it. And sometimes that takes a repenting, right? A repenting of what we were believing. And sometimes that just takes us being reminded again who he is and who we are. Right? We read scripture, we pray, we come to church. We need to be reminded again. And this morning, I want us to be reminded of that. I am going to take some time and just read over some truths of how God sees us through scripture. And so I want you to just say yes, say yes to Jesus. Have an honest conversation with him and be able to just receive this as true over your lives. And some of these things might hit home and some of them might not. But, be reminded again who you are in him and what's true. So I'm going to read over this and I'm going to pray. I want to invite the band up. They're going to play a little bit as I'm reading over this. So just receive this as much as you can. You are created in God's own image, fearfully and wonderfully made. You are chosen. God called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You are a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away, and your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared before you. He has put his seal on you and given you his Spirit in your heart as a guarantee that you are his. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You belong. You are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood, into a holy nation, into a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of God. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you, God. Would you remind us of your truth? Lord, we say again, as much as we can, Lord, would your truth have that place and that home in our lives? God, would you realign all those things we've been thinking about others, thinking about ourselves, thinking about our future, thinking about our past? Would you realign those, Lord, according to your truth? God, would you show us that you offer and invite us into freedom? And Lord, we need you. We need you, God. We need you, Jesus, to show us what that freedom looks like. Because if I'm honest, Lord, most of the days I don't experience that freedom. I feel like I'm in a prison of my own thoughts and of culture and everything else. And Lord, I need you and we need you to bring your freedom and your spirit and your truth to have that place in us. We say yes, and we boldly say yes, God, and we know that we want to run away. We know that when you speak truth, Lord, at times we want to just leave it, or we want to react defensively. So God, help us. Holy Spirit, help us. God, I want everyone in this room to experience the fullness of your freedom, to know what it is to lay everything down and just walk away free and released. That we don't have to hold anything anymore. So Lord, anything we're holding, anything we've been believing about ourselves this week, anything someone else told us that is true about us but is not true, Lord, would you come in and speak your truth? God, for the people in this room that need direction, would you provide direction? For the people in this room that need to know those times in the past where they feel like you weren't there, Lord, would you show them you were there? Would you reveal the truth to them, Lord? Every person in this room who has been questioning themselves and feel like, man, it is just hard to get out of bed in the morning because I'm not sure it really matters. Lord, would you show them that it matters? Would you bring freedom and healing and life to them? Lord, here we are. God, we need you. We need to know that we're not alone. We need to know that there's hope. We need to know of what you said of who you are and who we are in you is true. Jesus, that you are true. Make it real. Make it known. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, please visit churchinhollywood.com.